If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. It's sunny and beautiful here in the Carolinas, 80 degrees. A little sunshine here and there, but we're getting lots of spring rain for the spring flowers. So wherever you are, I hope it was pleasant. We got a great show. We're going to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk Live. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about the physician of no value. You know that saying is ancient. We're going to talk about that. Also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about why doctors and some of the mainstream media say it's worthless to do any organ cleansing. I'm going to check that out. And if we get time, we might even touch on some pulmonary issues like emphysema. We'll see how far we get. And, of course, we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. We're lifting them up in prayer, asking the Lord's protection on all of our men and women in the military. You know, righteous men and women are in the military, you know. So I'm also praying for America. I'm praying for righteous leadership here. I'm praying for, you know, the blindfolds and the earplugs to come off people and to kind of wake up to truth and justice. And that's what we're supposed to plead to the Lord for, is, you know, truth and justice. Isaiah says we're supposed to ask that. We're not going to get it unless we ask it. So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, because the prayer of the faith saves the sick and the prayer of the righteous avails much. So I've been praying for righteous men of valor with understanding and knowledge come forward and to set this nation right, and for God's hand of protection still be on America. That's what I'm praying for. And, you know, I hope you'll join me in Mind the Time. The time grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we got in the quacker? Ooh, IBM and Apple are teaming up. They announced they have this alliance going on. They're going to put forth some artificial intelligence to work together to, because of all the booming health data that's been created with the personal devices, they're going to take advantage of that. So IBM is collaborating with Apple and Medtronic and Johnson & Johnson to use this Watson artificial intelligence, you know, Dr. Watson. It's a system, they say, that will offer users some insights and advice from personal health information that they gather from things like fitness trackers, smartphones, implants, and other devices. So they're trying to take advantage of the medical records, increasing availability to that stuff. You know what happened to HIPAA, right? Anyway, it's all going digitized, and it's going to allow quick access for patients and healthcare providers for more information stored in a cloud, no less. So they want to create, IBM wants to create this platform for sharing. So they say they're going to find better ways for people to analyze all this information in real time. So they expect more companies to join this platform, so it's going to be a growing global database. And so IBM is establishing a health unit, basically. There you go. All right, last but not least in the quack report, painkillers are in the news. Apparently this is a new study published in Psychological Science. They did a study testing Tylenol products, you know, painkillers, acetaminophen, over-the-counter acetaminophen products, and they said they are suggesting by the results that this product can dull your emotional sensitivity. The researchers took about 82 subjects, and they put them, you know, half and half in groups. Half of them took acetaminophen products, half took a placebo, and then they showed the participants 40 photos. Measuring their emotional reaction. You know, some of the photos had sad images, some had happy images on them, and so they were measuring the emotional response. And they said in the study, the participants who took the acetaminophen had less of an emotional reaction to both either positive and negative photos than those taking the placebo. According to researchers, they said the people on the drug had a more neutral, less emotional, intense response than the people who were on the placebo. So Tylenol, they say, or similar products might have broader consequences than previously thought. According to Jeffrey Durso, he's the lead author in the study, he says rather than just being a pain reliever, acetaminophen may also be an all-purpose emotional reliever. So, yeah, there you go. More bang for your buck, maybe. I think maybe I'd stick with my willow bark and meadowsweet. Thank you very much. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Yeah, if you're looking for a natural anti-inflammatory pain reliever, then you might want to check out the willow bark and meadowsweet formula. Call Pain Relief at thepowerherbs.com. They have it in regular and extra strength. Very cool. Also, a big heads up and a reminder that normally Dr. Carly joins us the third Tuesday of the month here on Herb Talk, but she's taken a little sabbatical from radio, I guess, appearances for a little bit. So we wish her well, and we look forward to hearing how she's doing in the future. All right, we're going to be talking about the physician of no value. You know, in ancient times, a physician of no value was considered a forger of lies. So if we go back more than 2,000 years, We know by the ancient texts that the most common ailments were eye infections, skin diseases, respiratory problems like consumption, malaria, and typhoid fever. So people of the ancient world used what that was at their disposal, like foods and herbs and spices. So if there were physicians available, the people understood that although the physician had a duty, the people had this strong conviction that the real power to heal was divine. Now, often the ancient physicians were called holy men or wise men, and they were known to have skill with medicinal plants as well as to possess faith in the Creator. However, there were also those in the ancient kingdoms that practiced what is called the heathen arts or witchcraft and magic. So these were wizards used in alchemy to treat the sick and were considered by many to be a physician of no value. So people of faith avoided such healers and refused their methods of cure. Even King Solomon was recorded as saying in Deuteronomy 32 that it was not the herb or the modify of the herb that applied that was the cure. It was the Lord who cured, because all is in the hand of God. So what can we learn from the ancient healers? Well, we're going to take a look. Let's look at the early physicians, because the earliest written mention of physicians comes from ancient Egypt. Now, they were mentioned in scripture as well. And in Egypt, a physician worshipped many idols, including the idol Imhotep. So there were different classes in Egypt, but the physician was called the Snu, S-N-U, and their ability to heal was mythical in nature, you know, using magic and incantations. So these physicians were not scientists, and their knowledge of the human anatomy was almost non-existent. Now, it's said that even their embalming of the mummies was flawed, and it was basically the desert climate that preserved more than the art of the mummification. So in ancient Israel, it was said that there were few real physicians who knew the art of healing with medicinal herbs, and some scholars of that time period refer to them as isolation experts or the sanitary police, who would just crudely quarantine people with skin diseases. So during the time of the Bible, there were no priests who were physicians, and I think that the knowledge of medicinal plants was handed down to the women who became a doctor mom, if you will, for the purposes of helping their household, along with midwives. So it wasn't a profession for them. So any cure via a prophet was recorded as a miracle of God rather than a physician's treatment. All right, let's look in the beginning, because scripture does instruct us to use herbs as a way to restore or heal the body. So in the first book of Genesis, we see God calls herbs meat in Genesis chapter 1, 29 and 30. And in Psalms 104:14, King David states that herbs are here for the service of man. Clearly, he understood the powerful benefit of medicinal herbs. And it is said that his son, King Solomon, had the time and the money to collect information and drawings on medicinal herbs. And it is said that he listed symptoms and prepared an ancient text of cures called the Cipher Rukva, which it means symptom report. So it recorded the medicinal use of herbs, but was said to be banned from use by the 13th king of Judah, Hezekiah. So in the book of Ezekiel, there is mention of the fruit and leaves of the trees to be of a medicinal nature. And then there was the king of Judah, Asa, some people call him Asa, who made the mistake of not seeking the Lord for healing of his diseased feet, and instead sought the physicians. So the disease grew and he died. That's in 2 Chronicles 16. So researchers say that science didn't begin to creep into ancient forms of medicine until the school of Alexandria was founded in Alexandria, Egypt. So this school was pretty much a museum of intellectual writings of all facets of life. So Alexandria at this time was looked upon as the cosmopolitan city, a mysterious land of hidden knowledge by the Greeks, Egyptians, and Jews alike. Now, I suppose that if you housed over 700,000 volumes of writings, that you would have a reputation to span the ancient globe. Well, let's look at healing wasn't all about science, because we can see that in the ancient world and in our modern times, that healing the sick isn't only about science or magic. The Lord Jesus said, in reference to him keeping company with sinners, he said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." That's in Matthew chapter 9. So physicians are mentioned in the scripture, but they're not given honor. There is mention of the woman who was plagued with a bleeding condition for 12 years. She saw many physicians and suffered at their hand, and they took her money, and she was not any better. And the Bible said she actually was worse. That's in Mark chapter 5. So this is an ancient example of a physician of no value. This is not to say that all physicians were bad then or today. Now, some were sincere in their knowledge of natural healing and praying to the Lord for health, as we see that Luke was referred to as a beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4. Well, let's check out these ancient methods, because some excavations of ancient ruins in Rome and in parts of Italy have revealed surgical instruments that look similar to what surgeons are using today. Now, the Hippocratic Oath came about to protect patients from physicians of no value, and it was supposed to protect people from the healing craft of sorcery. It was a pledge that physicians took to do no harm. And this oath was required for graduation from European medical schools from 1508 to 1804. But by the 1900s, the oath was considered outdated and was only required by 20% of the U.S. medical schools. In 1948, the General Assembly of the World Medical Association adopted to replace the Hippocratic Oath with the Declaration of Geneva. And it's interesting that this declaration includes statements similar to the HIPAA laws of modern healthcare. Now, in 1964, Professor Lasagna, don't you like that name, Lasagna, he was at Tufts University Medical School. He amended the Hippocratic Oath to be sensitive to modern healthcare politics. So he removed the restrictions mentioning surgery, euthanasia, abortion, and having sexual relations with patients. Even this oath today is merely ceremonial. It's not obligatory. It bears no legal weight. So the philosophy of the oath was for medicine never to be lethal, never to cause suicide, never to euthanize or to make the womb a grave. So this oath used to demand a strict loyalty to divine law of ethics. It meant to preserve life. That's what it was about. However, the oath became too restricting to modern physicians, and they opt not to be bound by this oath, and therefore they don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore. So doctors today are not agreeing to be bound by a 2,500-year-old ethical philosophy. They say society's changed, and they say that, you know, the drugs that promote suicidal tendencies, euthanasia procedures, abortions to full term, and perhaps even now extending, they're talking about extending abortion to children that are age 2 or older, that's all part of the new social contract, they say. Well, the licensed medical physician that swears to do no harm are, you know, all part of this new social contract, but they're not swearing to do no harm. The licensed medical physician that swears to do no harm really is therefore extinct. Think about it. So the Hippocratic Oath swore doctors to keep, you know, to help heal with dietary regimens, which suggests, you know, physicians were supposed to have some working knowledge of nutrition. So physicians today have voiced their concerns over any professional oath that provides moral or ethical guidance, and that seems to conflict with what's necessary in the field of medicine, really. However, there are some physicians that have a different opinion, such as Dr. Howard Markel. He is the author and professor of the medical history at the University of Michigan. He says this: today, the need for physicians to make a formal warrant of diligent moral and ethical conduct to the service of their patient may be stronger than ever. Well, I tend to agree with that. Well, here's something we should think about. So I had this conversation recently. I brought up the term antibiotic, and What it means is against life. Although antibiotics have been reported to save lives from bacterial infections in the 20th and 21st centuries, well, we also need to consider at what cost did this happen. So the use of antibiotics have created the life-threatening conditions of what are called superbugs or drug-resistant bacteria, which are more dangerous to life and in most cases produces death. So according to the CDC, in 2013, there were 2 million people in the United States that were infected with drug-resistant bacteria, and 23,000 people died. So we have over 150 different antibiotics, and penicillin's the number one cause for anaphylactic shock. We now have 1 in 5,000 exposures to penicillin causing life-threatening anaphylactic shock. Now, according to the World Health Organization, we use over half of the world's antibiotics on animals. So the farm animals, which receive more antibiotics than any other, are going to be pigs and chickens. The dose has gone from 600% to 1,500% over the last 30-year period. So these drugs have turned out to be literally against life and have, in the long term, promoted death. So there is another factor to consider here with antibiotics, and that is that they have, along with vaccinations, they've weakened the immune system, and they have undermined the human condition. So we have bad bugs and no drugs. Harvard published a report in 2015 called "The History is Repeating, Avoiding a Return to the Pre-Antibiotic Age." So in their report, they state that antibiotics have saved over 200,000 American lives per year. However, they say the reality of antibiotics on the human condition has produced such life-threatening consequences that it shall undermine any public health achievements the drug had to offer. Wow. So according to their report, we are in the age of bad bugs and no drugs. With regard to antibiotic use, the Harvard report listed mortality statistics from the vital statistics in the U.S., and at first the mortality rates fell from 9.2 to 2.7 in populations of 100,000 when people were using antibiotics to counter bacterial infection, and that was over a 30-year period. However, from 1960 onward, the mortality rates have steadily risen. In 2002, we were at 38.1% deaths per 100,000. So the report went on to say that developers of the first antibiotics in the 40s knew that the bacterial drug resistance, knew about this, which the research team at Oxford called penicillase, or later the medicine called it beta-lactamase. So they knew that their antibiotic achievement, development, research, creation, if you will, was going to cause this drug resistance bacterial infections down the road. So the report went on to say that the researchers under Dr. Fleming acknowledged in 1942 that bacterial strains would become more prevalent with the use of penicillin. So Dr. Fleming stated in a 1945 New York Times interview that there would be an evolution of other resistant organisms as a result of using antibiotics, and that there was no drug that fights bacteria that would not produce the same. So medicine, although said they had no way of knowing that drug-resistance bacteria would occur with the development of antibiotics, now we know that was a lie. They knew all along. Now, by 1948, Dr. Fleming's prediction of the mutating bacteria manifested within just 4 years of penicillin being on the market. So we have over 150 antibiotics in use, and over half of those manufactured are injected into farm animals that we eat as food. So the FDA, I believe, has been negligent in allowing unrestricted use of antibiotics in humans and animals. And you would think with the first antibiotic, penicillin, causing this drug resistance, this problem, mutating, ballooning out of control, you would think they would stop there with antibiotics, right? Common sense would say, okay, we made a big mistake. Well, no, they just decided to create chemical shackles for everybody. Modern medicine has saved a generation or two from bacterial infections with antibiotics, only to put future generations into chemical shackles. So medicine needs new classes of antibiotics to try to stay ahead of the evolved organisms. However, where would that line of defense lead mankind? Now, some say that there are where we are today, it's okay. You know, it's the price we had to pay for modern advancements. Well, there is doubt that modern science can reverse this trend of killer bacteria. And some researchers are suggesting the use of fewer antibiotics to pan down the drug resistance. However, medicine has this profit margin thing with the drug companies to consider. Yes, the financials of antibiotics may overcome the good judgment of many in charge of healthcare. And studies by Joseph DeMasi have gained acceptance by the Office of Technology Assessment and the Congressional Budget Office because DeMasi and his team calculated the cost of development of just one antibiotic by the pharmaceutical company. So in 2000, the figures they came up with for developing an antibiotic from bench to bedside was $802 million. Other kinds of medicines are less expensive to bring to market, and therefore there has been a decline in developing the antibiotics. Well, let me read you this quote by Adam Smith. He spoke this in 1776. He's also the author of An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. He said this, "We address ourselves not to their humanity, but to their self-love, and never talk to them of our necessities, but of their advantages." So Adam Smith obviously understood the narcissistic mindset. The greedy people of his era would be the same people of our era. And so they're not really interested in humanity. They're not interested in your needs, necessities. They're only interested in their selves and their advantages. So whenever you try to address the topic, always frame it in that mindset. If you want them to listen, I guess. Well, you know, are we going to be at the pre-antibiotic age? I most certainly think so. If you plan to wait for drug companies to give you the key to the chemical shackles, then you may run the risk of someday acquiring a bacterial infection your immune system has no power to overcome. So our immune system is meant to engage dangerous pathogens. Antibiotics and vaccines have manipulated the immune system, and millions of people have immune systems that pretty much sit in the stocks and do absolutely nothing. Therefore, it is no surprise that when we depend on artificial infections, vaccines, and artificial immune responses, antibiotics, that we find ourselves in a precarious situation. Unnatural practices can produce unforeseen consequences. So medical treatments that cause suicide, promote euthanasia, make the womb a grave, suppress your immune system, and do not preserve life would be advice from a physician of no value. So when trillions of dollars are involved, you can bet that the good of humanity is not considered in truth. So what did the world do before antibiotics? Well, they used herbs with antibacterial strength to them and helped your body fight pathogens. And these pathogens didn't mutate or become resistant. How can they become resistant? It's your immune system. It's not a drug suppressing an immune system. It's your immune, God-given immune system, see? So the use of herbs that were antibacterial were used. Herbs really contain a lot of super nutrition to support your natural defenses and to correct an imbalance pretty quickly. So with the right herb and knowledge, you can be more powerful than you ever thought you could be. So herbs are here for the service of man. They offer powerful meat or support to the body according to our Creator. I believe them. We're going to take a break. More on the other side. Be right back. We'll be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Brought up on a coconut, he bought it for a dime. His sister had another one, she faded for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called a doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, do we leave his belly? Get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowed up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowed up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowed up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called the doctor, woke him up, said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, do
we're back here in Herb Talk Live. All right, well, you know, we were just covering the physician of no value, very old term, goes back thousands of years to the Bible times. And, you know, you're more powerful than you think you are. I want to encourage you out there. And, you know, God says trust in his herbs. He's asking you. He's inviting you to trust in them. So if you'd like to learn more about, you know, powerful herbal tools and information on how to use the herbs properly for your success and safety, then call Apothecary Herbs. And they'll send you a free product catalog, and or you can just get on their website and check them out at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there type in herbtalklive.com as well. They have a toll-free number, though, if you want to request a catalog. If you don't do the internet, just give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, if you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. And, you know, spring is the perfect time to cleanse away impurities, you know, increase your energy, boost your immune system, and lose a few pounds in the process. It's not hard. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com, money back guarantee. And, of course, if you have questions or concerns, you can always call or email somebody. They're all there 24/7, somebody with a pulse, ready to answer the phone. Love that. All right, we're going to move along to, speaking of cleansing, why mainstream America and, of course, the healthcare professionals out there, licensed ones, allopathic white coats, say don't do cleansing, please, especially don't do any colon cleansing. Absolutely not. I mean, if you did some colon cleansing, you may not have to have an, you know, colonoscopy, right? All right. In 2011, on CNN, it was reported in their health section that medical doctors say that cleansing the body with, you know, natural cleanses is dangerous, offers side effects, right? So this big headline they had, which, you know, is, you know, causing people to have some serious concern, you know, especially in 2011, they were saying that, you know, bowel cleansing, colonic irrigation, high colonics, enemas, based on some research that the Journal of Family Practice, is not good for you. So the irrigation colon cleanse is usually done in, you know, health spas. People do it, you know, in the privacy of the home. Well, here's something. If enemas and colon irrigation is not good for you, why do they do that prior to surgery or treatment? They used to do it when prior to women giving birth. Standard enema. Back in the 80s, that's what happened. So, yeah. Well, the report lists that high colonics use chemicals. Chemicals are forced into the rectum. And they report that these home health remedies or that are sold all over the place, including the internet, not effective, according to researchers in the journal report, coming from researchers from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. According to the CNN report, Dr. Ranit Mysore, one of the researchers at Georgetown University School of Medicine, they said that they could find no evidence that cleansing treatments work and that they are often used improperly, causing cramping, kidney failure, and extreme causes of death. Ah. So Dr. Mysore finds it difficult to believe that laxatives and teas and powders and capsules offer any benefit at all. And according to CNN, the American Medical Association discontinued promoting the ancient treatment of irrigation colon cleansing in 1900, stating that it was an invalid procedure and produced no evidence that it worked. Well, that's just not true, because there's certain medical procedures now that require enemas, colon evacuation, and cleansing. But when I'm talking about colon cleansing, I'm not talking about enemas and high colonics. I'm talking about using some herbs that soothe and promote proper organ function, toning of the bowel muscle, and then pulling some pharmaceutical residues out of the colon tissue itself, you know? So that's important. That's important to always know. And then you don't need laxatives, and you don't need all these other things that you've probably been taking because of digestive problems. So that's the issue. They're just worried that these treatments do work, basically. If you get the right kind, if you get the right products, and I know there are some fakes out there. But I'm a good example because when I was a budding young herbalist in school, I had some back pain that wouldn't go away. And so wasn't getting any relief through the traditional means if you go to your physician or your chiropractor or that kind of thing. So my professor in herb school said, what's going on? And I said, well, you know, I just got this back pain. You know, if I go to the chiropractor, it goes away for 2 days and then it comes back. And, a year or so after the birth of my third child, and I thought, I don't know what's going on. So he suggested I do a bowel cleanse and, probably just some toxins that are leaching out through the colon and irritating the back muscles. I said, oh, okay. So I did a bowel cleanse, first one I did. I followed the instructions to the letter and felt pretty good. Just ate a little lighter. I wasn't starving. I wasn't, fasting, but I just ate a little lighter while I did it. And my back pain went away and never came back. I found out I had a very sluggish bowel, and it was what I was eating that was causing a lot of toxicity buildup in the colon, and those impurities were leaching through and irritating my back muscles. So once I changed, after I got the bowel all cleaned up, I quit eating like that, and I haven't had a problem since. So there you go. So the AMA method of dealing with my back pain at that point was antispasmodic pain reliever drugs and physical therapy. Yeah, didn't do a thing. Okay, so we've got to wonder why all of a sudden, medical establishment is, taking on cleansing, especially colon cleansing, bowel cleansing. According to the news, many cleansing products claim that they will help people lose some weight. Well, it can happen. A lot of people do when they do a cleanse because they tend to eat lighter. They're just more conscious of what they're doing, and they avoid some of those more fattening or foods that slow and bog down their metabolism. Now, since the majority of Americans tend to be overweight, do you think the medical establishment is afraid that people who do some cleansing, they actively lose some weight, they get encouraged by the whole process, and they start, changing their lifestyle, that they'll just lose weight naturally without the help of modern medicine? Possibly. Or perhaps are we going to have some more serious population reduction? They think cleansing herbs are going to kill a bunch of people. I've never seen a death certificate that says death by herb, death by colon cleanse. Huh? I've seen lots of death certificates, worked in a hospital, that said death by pharmaceutical drug, a side effect, or the drug disposed the person and caused the cardiac arrest or something of that nature. I've seen that. But never anything that said, the herb was a problem. Yeah, no death certificates that list death by herb. I haven't seen that yet. Or death by vitamin. Haven't seen that one either. Now, I have seen some things that have been really strange in my career working at, the allopathic medicine facilities. I used to work in a major hospital in intensive care. I worked for anesthesiologists. I've worked for neurologists and neurosurgeons, and I've seen a lot of stuff, right? I have. That was before I started my journey into herbal medicine, of course. I found that herbal medicine had such a quick response. The body just responded very quickly to it, and it was long-lasting. It was like, addressing the cause and not just masking symptoms. So that was the big difference for me. And I thought, wow, this is like the world's best kept secret. So that's why I had to learn more. So you have to wonder why, herbs, there's not enough people that are dead because of herbs to cause the FDA, the AMA to have a hissy fit. For sure. What about vaccines? the first vaccines were distributed to masses that, you know, the doctors and scientists claimed scientifically the vaccines were sterile and clean. Remember that? 30 years later, with better microscopes, they looked at those vaccines under a microscope from the 50s and the 60s, and they found they were totally filthy with bacteria. Gross. Right? So there was really no scientific evidence that the vaccines were tainted and polluted at the onset because they really couldn't detect it, right? So do you suppose it's possible that natural cleanses do work and remove impurities, but the medical people just haven't discovered or refused to see it yet? Well, Dr. Masori states that products that claim to enhance your metabolism, your immune system, your energy, are, in their opinion, vague and are not equal to taking, and are kind of equal to taking a placebo, they thought. In fact, they say that people who use these types of products and state that they work are experiencing what they call placebo effect. Well, that's kind of insulting to hundreds of millions of people who have benefited and have stayed healthy with herbs. So that's a nice way of saying, you know, that's all in your head. You're just imagining you're well. Well, I just find it amusing because I find that, you know, when you take blood pressure medicine that, you know, just lowers the numbers, suppresses the numbers, but really you still have high blood pressure because once you come off that drug, guess what happens? Blood pressure shoots up. It's just changing the numbers. It's just an illusion of a cure. So, who is imagining what is my question? They feel that, you know, more regulation of the FDA on, you know, natural homeopathic herbal products would eliminate a lot of this confusion. There is no confusion. There's none. Antidepressants that that help people commit suicide, that might be confusing. Or how about you know, turning the womb of a mother into a grave of the unborn? That may be confusing. Or how about euthanasia? Some of that may be confusing, but certainly not herbs. No, no, no. So now that we have some classes of drugs that make you imagine things, very horrible things, give you hallucinations, that may be confusing. You know, psychotropic drugs. But herbs, no, no, no. Now, it all depends on how you're using certain things, too. Herbs, you know, how you're supposed to absorb and use them is different. I think the fastest way to distort the use of an herb is through the pulmonary, to smoke it in, to breathe it in. Marijuana is one of them. There's different ways to use that particular. I'm not saying you should run out and get any. I'm just saying the application is different. All right, so Dr. Masori and some other physicians had some research. They poured over like 20 studies that were published in the last few years, and they published their findings in the Journal of Family Practice in 2011. And in their report, in the journal article, they say many of the colon cleanses show little evidence or benefit. So which is it? Before they said there was absolutely no benefit. Now they're saying little benefit. So let's get that straight. Which is it? They reported that colon cleansing products offered side effects of cramping and bloating and nausea and vomiting, electrolyte imbalance and renal failure, kidney failure, and claiming that the ingredients were therefore toxic to the liver. Really? Man, I've been cleansing for over 20 years. I don't see any of that happening yet. Are we sure that we weren't writing a... Were they confused, maybe? Were they talking about prescription meds? You know, some medications that do that? I have to ask. So when was the last time you saw similar side effects listed on antibiotics or cholesterol or blood pressure drugs or any of these drugs advertised on TV? could cause renal failure. Even some of them cause cancer now and death, seizures. So the researchers were saying that people that use the herbs in health spas that tend to offer a colon cleansing experience through, you know, the rectal area, irrigation area, they have no training. They're not clinicians. They're just employees. They have no affiliations or associations or accreditations. They're just a group of people that are, you know, have no idea what they're doing. Well, no offense, but when I was a child, my mother didn't have any credentials to administer an enema for me to relieve my constipation or to prevent my appendicitis. Hello? She didn't have a dietitian's training or a license to make and serve well-prepared meals either. So if we start regulating enemas and requiring a prescription for herbs that go to the into the enema, then, you know, we're going to have to pay exorbitant amounts of fees just to have an enema. And, you know, besides, it'll probably have to be in a clinical setting. But, of course, vaccines don't have to be given in a clinical setting. They can be given at your drive-thru. You see, this is stupid. Now, I predict that the clinical enema won't be that effective, and you'll need to have an appendectomy if that was the reason for the enema, because an enema can clear, usually clear appendicitis, because that's all it is. You got a little piece of fecal matter that's plugging the opening of the appendix. It can't release its fluids, and it's just inflamed, and it's just irritated. Remove that blockage, and the appendicitis is relieved. I don't advocate using coffee enemas. They dehydrate the bowel too much. Now, Dr. Masori points out that enemas put undue stress on the system. Oh, open heart surgery? Is that any stress on the system? Right? Taking more than one prescription drug at a time, is that not putting stress on the system? The stress of a fleet enema creates far less stress on the system than long-term prescription drugs or evasive surgery. Hello. And by the way, the UK, they have registered practitioners trained to administer 5,600 enemas per month. You can go there if you want some of that, Dr. Masori. My experience is that the herbal bowel cleanse saved me personally from leaky gut syndrome and a disabling back pain that may have morphed into chronic fatigue syndrome, for all I know. Okay, so the readers expressed their thoughts when this news report came out on CNN. Many felt that the report was bogus, and they had some good points to make. They say, when were the studies on smoking saying it was good or bad for you? You know, remember that doctors were portrayed in those 1960 ad, print ads, that doctors smoked camels and smoking was okay? Apparently, we know a little more about the health effects of smoking now, and, of course, how filthy the vaccines of the 60s were, and all regulated by government and promoted by your allopathic healthcare system. One reader suggested that Big Pharma funded the research and called the AMA a trade union for doctors working against the best interests of patients. Wow. Other readers felt that enemas were for people who had issues. Okay. Well, I wanted to check out some of the cases that Dr. Masori used in the group review for their report. And according to the cases taken from the hospital admissions, the doctor's office visits, the patients were really not using common sense and were in pretty bad shape prior to doing the cleansing anyway. So some had sections of their diseased colon removed before cleansing. In other cases, the individual ate several fast food meals before they started the cleanse. All not good. So fast food and other unhealthy foods contain a lot of unnatural chemicals, which prompt digestive illness. Now, the Journal of Family Practice and Research showed and stated that following colon cleanse, the following colon cleanse products were used and it caused some adverse reactions. It was Nature's Bounty colon cleanse. It was their natural detox formula. Also, Health Plus Inc., their colon cleanse, and 7-Day Miracle Cleanse was a problem. So the journal article stated that there were insufficient evidence to support colon cleansing offers any health benefits, but then cited one study that suggested the colon cleansing stimulated the migration of lymphocytes, which are white blood cells, as part of the lymphatic system found in the blood, known as your T cells and B cells, which are part of their immune system, to circulate to improve colon function and immune system function overall. So just to be clear, T cells make up 75% of the lymphocytes, and they originate in your bone marrow and migrate to the thymus and become coated, and they know what's foreign material and what's not, and that's what makes your immune system so awesome. So, yeah. So cleansing does improve immune system function. They just proved that. But, you know, I've been saying this for, like, ever, right? So, it's very interesting. I find it interesting that the study review on the colon cleanses in the Journal of Family Practice did not mention a case that the colon cleanses caused any death. However, the CNN article alluded to it, that it did. Now, in fact, the side effects that the journal article cited for colon cleansing by, you know, enema, were nausea, vomiting, dizziness, diarrhea, dehydration, electrolyte imbalance, kidney insufficiency, pancreatitis, bowel perforation, most likely from inserting the enema hose improperly, and heart failure and infection. While most of the patients, if they were admitted, were discharged within 2 to 5 days, I don't find any solid information in their journal article that scientifically proved that God's cleansing herbs were seriously detrimental to health, but alludes them to being maybe weak and ineffectively used and administered. So the Journal of Family Practice is owned by Quantent HealthCom, Inc., and is a multimedia communications company specializing in healthcare information and marketing strategies to over 650,000 healthcare providers in the United States. So, of course, they want you to go to one of their healthcare providers for treatment, not at stay at home and do a cleanse and deal with it yourself for less money and probably better success in most cases, yes. So, do your homework, though, on any of your cleanses. If you're thinking about cleansing, you know, just thoroughly do your research there. You know, check your product ingredients. Make sure that the company you're dealing with has, you know, a money-back guarantee. See if they have any counter-regulatory warnings regarding ingredients for certain conditions or people taking medications. Always check those things out for yourself and be smart before you use any product or therapy, and that's what we always advise people to do. And if you feel the need, run it by your physician too. But be well out there. I've been doing cleansing for over 20 years and am the better for it, and that's my testimony. So check out thepowerherbs.com and empower yourself. 866-229-3663 and get a free product catalog. Cleansing during the spring is awesome. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.